This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. More than 165 research teams are racing to develop a COVID vaccine. According to the New York Times vaccine tracker, 32 vaccines are in human trials. Only 8 have made it to phase 3 large-scale efficacy trials. 2 vaccines have been approved for early or limited use. Dr. Anthony Fauci says a vaccine could be ready by December or early next year. But even if that happens, public health experts warn it might not meet high expectations. Manufacturers will have to make hundreds of millions of doses while competing for basic supplies like glass vials. And then the federal government will have to allocate doses and work through a patchwork of state and local health departments to administer the vaccine at scale. On top of this, will people actually take it? According to new data from a weekly NBC News poll, less than half of U.S. adults say they would get a government-approved vaccine if one becomes widely available. 44% of adults say they would get it. 22% said they wouldn't. 32% said they're not sure. Joining us to talk about the latest is Dr. Paul Offit. Dr. Offit serves on the FDA's Vaccine Advisory Committee and is director of the Vaccine Education Center and an attending physician at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Dr. Offit is also professor of vaccinology at the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. Hi, Dr. Offit. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Dr. Arthur Kaplan is a bioethicist, professor, and founding head of the Division of Medical Ethics at NYU School of Medicine. Dr. Kaplan is author and editor of many books, including The Ethics of Sport and Vaccination Ethics and Policy. Hi, Dr. Kaplan. Thank you so much for joining us. Dr. Kaplan, are you with us?
Yep. All right. I'm here.
Okay. Hi. Yes. Thank you for joining us. I just want to ask both of you, given the work that you do, where we are right now, Donald Trump is still tweeting about hydroxychloroquine. He tweeted a video this morning saying, please watch Dr. Harvey Rich of Yale on hydroxychloroquine. And you saw that, well, I don't know if you watched the convention last night, but of course, a lot of Republicans are saying that Trump is doing a great job with COVID. And it's just really causing a lot of confusion and a lack of trust among some members of the public. Dr. Offit, what are your thoughts around all of this?
Well, I think we can make a vaccine. I think that we will have a vaccine, as Dr. Fauci says, probably by no later than early next year. And I think it won't be just one vaccine. I think there'll be a number of vaccines that will be commercially available. And we may find that some vaccines work better in some groups, but not others, say, you know, the elderly or people with comorbidities, et cetera. So what we'll have a vaccine. The question is sort of the confidence that the American public would have in getting that vaccine is an issue. The CNN also had a poll that said roughly 50% of Americans wouldn't get a vaccine if offered. But I think, you know, it's right now is not the time to ask that question in the sense that we don't know what the vaccine is yet. I mean, right. The better question may ultimately be, would you get a vaccine that's 75% effective, has been shown to be safe in 20,000 people at a time when still 1,000 people are dying every day in this country? I think that's a different question, and the answer might be different. You're right about I think, the administration. They haven't actually engendered trust, whether it's hydroxychloroquine, which clearly has been shown not to work, clearly has been shown to have a side effect profile that is dangerous, meaning cardiac or heart arrhythmias. And then most recently, I think with this sort of convalescent plasma, you know, first you have, you know, people like Francis Collins, who's head of the NIH, and Tony Fauci saying that the data aren't good enough to say to use it. And then suddenly, you know, the FDA appears to have been strong-armed, frankly, by the administration to use it. So I think I think that the administration has really engendered a lot of distrust. But I think you can trust the phase 3 trials. As long as they're allowed to go to completion, and we have clear evidence from, you know, the Data Safety Monitoring Board that we have a statistically robust evidence for efficacy, and we have tested it out tens of thousands of people, and it's safe, that you can trust. But it's the science you can trust. I think that the people who aren't very good at representing the science, like the president, I mean, he does engender distrust.
Right. Dr. Kaplan, what would you add?
Well, I'd add that I think the president has shown himself indifferent to science and evidence. He chases the latest hopeful news for political gain. He seems to have made this blood plasma, convalescent plasma announcement right before his convention. I'm terrified he's going to try the same thing in late October. announce a vaccine is ready when the trials are not finished and we don't have the full evidence in hand. So I do worry that the key tool, vaccines, to get us out of this, they're getting undermined, if you will, by political behavior from the president. I also worry that the public, the kind of people who are worrying about vaccines, are not the usual suspects. There's always been an anti-vaccine movement. We hear it, it's loud, if small, but this is, the polls are showing bigger distrust, bigger concern, somewhat in populations that have been adversely impacted, like African Americans. And we're going to need to overcome that distrust, even with the evidence out there. I think Paul's right. You can trust a well-designed study, but that may not be enough to conquer distrust. We may have to have a public independent commission say that the evidence is trustworthy, or thought leaders in the country that are trusted to say, yes, I'm going to get the vaccine, and yes, I'm convinced the evidence is good enough. The administration has done such a wonderful job undermining science, undermining respect for evidence, that I think just showing good evidence may not be enough to overcome trust.
Right. And now the Trump is saying that the deep state elements in the FDA are stalling a virus vaccine. So Stephen Hahn, the commissioner of the FDA, told Reuters yesterday, I mean, he actually had to say this, I have not seen anything that I would consider to be deep state at the FDA. So this is where we are right now. But let's spend the rest of the show really talking about the science and the possibility of a vaccine. There are so many questions around cost, about who gets it first. Dr. Offit, can you just give us an update of where we are? We've got about 170 vaccines in development right now. According to the New York Times, 32 are in human trials. 8 have made it to phase 3 trials. What can you tell us about some of these trials?
Well, the vaccines that you hear about the most are frankly the ones that are easiest to construct and easiest to mass produce. And so as a general rule, what people are interested in is that spike protein that emanates from the surface of the virus. That's the part of the virus that allows the virus to bind to cells. So if you can prevent the virus from binding to cells, then you can stop infection. And all the strategies to date have focused on that protein. And it's the so-called plug-and-play vaccines, genetic vaccines, because you know the protein you're interested in, because you know the gene that makes that protein. You can then just plug the gene into a messenger RNA strategy or a DNA strategy or these so-called vectored vaccine strategies. And so it's the first vaccines I think you're going to see are those kinds of vaccines. That's what you've been hearing about. Now, that may not be the last best vaccines. I think we'll find out over time. But I'm open-minded to the fact that any of these approaches could work. That certainly every approach that's ever been used to make a vaccine is being used to make these vaccines, as well as a handful of new approaches, and we're going to learn as we go.
Right. Dr. Kaplan, what would you add?
Well, some people have heard about this vaccine from Russia. I don't think that's being tested in a careful, controlled way. I'm nervous that other countries are asking the Russians, Mexico, for example, to send them that vaccine. They say they're going to put it into clinical trials and test it. I don't know. So there is that. There's also do-it-yourself vaccine people, got a little attention, group up in the Cambridge-Boston area, concocted a vaccine to try and block the virus from getting a foothold in the nose. No regulation, no safety testing, no informed consent, no nothing. I don't like those activities because I think they do undermine, again, trust that we really do have a solid, well-designed clinical trial approach where we can get an answer. I'd also add one other thing. I think we have to make it clear what the compensation policy is if you get hurt. Mm-hmm. We do have a fund in this country that compensates for vaccine injury. Nothing is ever 100% safe, but it isn't clear yet where a COVID vaccine would fit into the existing insurance system. It's really built a little bit more for kids than it is for adults, but you're going to be vaccinating adults probably first with anything that pops up as partially efficacious. So there are areas where I think we need to get more policy in place to assure people that we're covering all the bases.
To that point, Dr. Offit, you were on CNN saying that at the end of the day, safety is so incredibly important. And you recommend that the trial be a 30,000 person trial. So 20,000 get vaccinated and 10,000 get a placebo.
That's right. So I'm actually, it's actually not my recommendation. It's the NIH's recommendation, the group that was put together by Francis Collins to sort of facilitate and accelerate the development of a vaccine, made that recommendation because you know, above all, you want to make sure that these vaccines are safe because, one, most of the people who are going to get these vaccines are healthy, you know, relatively young people who are, say, working in healthcare or working in long-term care facilities, whatever. They're not likely to die from this virus, so you want to make sure it's safe. And two, as I said earlier, the strategies that are used to make these vaccines are new strategies. I mean, they've never been used to make vaccines before. We have no commercial experience with any of these new strategies. And so above all, you want to make sure it's safe. Now, and Dr. Kaplan alluded to this, you know, when you go from phase one trials, which are 20 to 100 people, to phase two trials, which are a few hundred people, to phase three trials, which are sort of tens of thousands of people, you continue to reduce uncertainty. So that you can feel more comfortable, more and more comfortable that a vaccine is safe. But, you know, there is always some level of uncertainty. And what worries me, and Art alluded to this earlier too, that the administration may sort of reach their hand into warp speed because we have an election coming up, because other countries may release a vaccine earlier than ours, and we may release a vaccine earlier than we have really a good safety profile. And then you're asking to be lucky, and we shouldn't put Americans in that position.
How do you deal with that, Dr. Kaplan? I mean, at that point, obviously the media will have a very important role to play to provide scientific information to the public.
Right. So it would be useful to start to hold some education sessions with journalists likely to be drawn into either a, let's say, October surprise early release on the vaccine. It would be helpful if we could make sure that websites are up that are easy to read with trustworthy information. And I'm going to say, I think the other key is transparency. You know, I already mentioned the administration has been pounding on science, attacking medicine for 3.5 years now. It's really been saying, don't trust them. Trust me, the president. You don't need to test. The cases will go down if we don't test. Cuckoo stuff like that, all the way out to drink bleach and don't have sex with aliens. The president praising some of that. So we're going to need to make sure that we have the structure, the infrastructure to cement trust that everything was done right, that the data really is what it is, that it's transparent. That's why I keep saying a little bit more of a public commission to supplement FDA, to supplement the kind of thing that Paul's doing, might be set up now to make sure that, you know, the public says, I not only can trust the science, I not only can trust doctors, but I can trust influential leaders who say it's ready and they're going to take the vaccine.
Dr. Arthur Kaplan is a bioethicist, professor, and founding head of the Division of Medical Ethics at the NYU School of Medicine. Dr. Paul Offit is director of the Vaccine Education Center and attending physician at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Today, we are talking about a COVID vaccine. If you have any questions for our guests, you can give us a call, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. We've done many shows about the possible costs of a vaccine and then how it will be rolled out. There are so many questions around that. Dr. Offit, what are your thoughts on those two issues?
Well, the cost will be free. I mean, my understanding from the presentations that have been made to our group by basically the Department of Defense that's responsible for implementing and distributing this vaccine is that it'll be free. Free to people, but the administration costs may have to be covered by insurance. In terms of who gets it, the Advisory Committee for Immunization Practice, which advises the CDC and the National Academy of Medicine, are the ones who are now charged with figuring out who's going to be the first tier. There was a presentation at the CDC a couple weeks ago where they at least took a stab at who the first tier would be, and it was, you know, it's basically what you would imagine. It's you know, people who are greater than or equal to 65, essential workers, and that wasn't defined, people who live and work in long-term care facilities, and people who have certain medical conditions, which they estimated, just as a first pass, would be about 120 million people for what is likely to be a two-dose vaccine. So that's 240 million doses that would have to be distributed. So So what are going to be those points of care? Will it be large-scale pharmacies, doctor's offices, universities, colleges, hospitals? What are going to be those points of care? And I think it would help at this point for the Department of Defense to sort of lay out what their plan is, to at least help local governments to figure out exactly how they're going to be distributing this vaccine, because we'll have a vaccine. I think we will have an effective vaccine and a safe vaccine by early next year, but the next big challenge is going to be getting people to get it.
Right. Dr. Kaplan, what would you add?
Well, I do think there is a choke point, not so much with getting a vaccine or more than one approved and shown somewhat efficacious, somewhat that it works, 40, 50% efficacy and safe. But you're going to need to then, as Paul is saying, manufacture it, distribute it, get it out there, have people reassured that it's okay to take it, those who are hesitant. And if it's two doses, that's a big distribution, even if you start with the highest risk groups, highest exposure groups, like healthcare workers and people in nursing homes and prisons and some minority populations in poor neighborhoods with a lot of chronic health conditions and poor access to healthcare. So I'm not optimistic. I'm not that everybody will get this vaccine until the end of next year, should we get one or more of them, or even longer. And I just say that because it's just a logistically tough, tough problem to distribute, let's say, 240 million doses, get it out to people, persuade them that it's okay to take it, by the way, set up some mechanism to compensate anybody who's injured and track people once they get the vaccine, just to see what happens post the approval. That's not the end of the need to study. These are big challenges, big, big challenges.
Yeah, huge challenges. And we're entering so much unprecedented territory. Dr. Offit, I'm thinking of an example of maybe someone wanting to fly or, enter a nursing home, for example. Do you think that people will be required to show some sort of proof that they have been vaccinated?
Well, first of all, I think that we're going to need to continue to implement hygienic procedures, which is to say, making sure that we have masks, social distance, wash hands, even with a vaccine. I mean, let's assume the best case scenario, that you have a vaccine that's 75% effective. First of all, that means 25% of people, and by effective, I mean protection against moderate to severe disease. That's the best you can hope for. One, it means 25% of people who get that aren't going to be protected. And two, they're probably not going to be protected against either mild symptoms associated with infection or asymptomatic infection, both of which may be associated with shedding. So I think it's going to be the dual attempt to try and put this virus down is going to be both hygienic measures and vaccine. So I think what we'll have to do is both those things. With people who want to enter a nursing home, I think that obviously I think they should be vaccinated, but still wear masks. And that's going to be true for everybody. The mask, we're not going to be losing masks anytime soon.
Right. And Dr. Kaplan, again, this is such a tough one. What about the people who do not want to take this vaccine? I mean, let's say that people start taking it, some people get sick and have some kind of reaction to it, and people say, I'm not taking that.
Well, I think we've seen with the mask issue that no matter who is in the next administration, there's a lot of resistance to following orders that come from the government,
right.
Even when it's in your interest and your neighbor's interest, being a good citizen by not harming others who, for one reason or another, are more vulnerable. And yet people resist. So I'm not really optimistic that we're going to see a mandate with people fined or jail sentences if they don't take this vaccine. Particularly, it's adults. Most of the mandates we have now are for kids. You get them by saying you've got to get vaccination proof to get into school, but it's children. Adults are a little more feisty and a little less likely. What I do think we may see, though, is what we just started talking about, mandates by employers, mandates by sports teams to say you can't come in here unless you show me proof of vaccination. Mandates for schools saying you can't come to college unless you show proof of vaccination. As Paul said, doesn't mean you can throw your mask away. Doesn't mean you could all cram into a party and not try to social distance. But at least it will take some of those who might be resistant and say, look, you get more freedom if you're willing to vaccinate. So instead of punishment, what you do is you give the carrot. You say you want choice, you want liberty, you want mobility. A private sector entity, business can say, you want that, you want to come back to work, show me vaccination.
And again, Dr. Kaplan, in that case, you're going to have to prove that you've had the vaccine.
Right. So I think that's where we'll see some interesting developments with apps, people being able to show on their cell phone, for example, that they did get a vaccine. We may need to watch for counterfeiting as people try to undercut that kind of thing. But generally speaking, I think we will see some sort of a vaccine pass or vaccine ticket, you know, saying you can go here, you can go there. But again, I'm skeptical, too, that it's really going to be enforced by the government. But the one group I can think of that's probably going to get a mandate is the armed forces.
And in terms of the mandates, who ultimately imposes these mandates?
Well, for me, it's going to be your boss or your school or your sports team or someone that says, look, I can control who comes and goes. I had a sign up a couple of years ago that said, no shoes, no shirt, no service. Today it says no vaccine certificate. You can't get in here to buy something. You can't come in to use the restaurant and so on. So I think that's where the tie will be to saying you should do this or you're not going to be able to avail yourself of these services.
And of course, we don't know this yet, but what are your thoughts, Dr. Offit? Will these vaccines be needed on a regular basis?
I don't think so. I mean, the critical question is, will this virus mutate in the way that influenza mutates so that you would need to have, say, a yearly vaccine? Or said another way, is this a single serotype virus? And all the evidence to date is that it's a single serotype virus. So I do think we can get a vaccine which provides 2 or 3 years' worth of protection. And between hygienic measures and having a greater percentage of the population vaccinated, I think we can wrestle this virus to the ground. The percentage of the population that would need to be vaccinated depends on the efficacy of the vaccine. If you have a vaccine that's roughly, let's say, 75% effective, you would need to vaccinate about two-thirds of the American population to start to then stop spread. But again, it assumes we do need to continue the hygienic measures, and it's hard enough to get people to do the hygienic measures now without a vaccine.
Right. Dr. Kaplan, we've got about 30 seconds left, but what are your thoughts about when we might be able to get back to some kind of normalcy? I mean, people are missing their parents. I mean, that's a huge one. Also, people need to work, and we just don't see any end in sight at the moment.
Yeah, I think if we would be aggressive on the behavior side with the masks and the hand washing and the distancing and so on, we could get back faster. Some parts of the country show that. Some other nations are seeing it. So I don't think we're going to work our way out with a magic bullet vaccine by next year. I think we can probably take all the tools in combination and get back to normal maybe in 2 or 3.
Dr. Arthur Kaplan is a bioethicist, professor, and founding head of the Division of Medical Ethics at NYU School of Medicine. Dr. Kaplan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Paul Offit serves on the FDA's Vaccine Advisory Committee and is director of the Vaccine Education Center and an attending physician at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Dr. Offit, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And you can find more information about a potential vaccine and just the latest on this at yourcallradio.org. Thanks to Leah Cesarine for producing today's show. Thanks to Kevin Vance for keeping our studio running. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.